Okay, Romans 1:18. And let's go and pray. Lord, I do ask you, help us be good students of your word. Help us be faithful to your words. Help us to honor them. And amazingly, believe them. And I just pray you'd help us to be faithful in that task. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Romans 1:18, and it runs clear to 3:19. So he's talking about the sinfulness of man. And the end conclusion at the judgment is at 3:19. At the end, it says that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. So he starts off in chapter 1:18 on the path of sinfulness of man. And when all this is given as evidence at the white throne, the individual will say, "You're right, I'm wrong." And then God will say, "Check the book of life," and then he'll say, "Depart from me, cursed and everlasting fire." Okay, now 1:18 is changed in every new Bible. And the reason why I point that out is very important is because this way we can discern truth from error. Okay, hold your finger here. If you would, go to Ezekiel 44:23. I believe that, okay, in the early 1980s, the King James issue came to a forefront amongst fundamental Baptists. Many of them jumped in a bandwagon, and then you started seeing in some of the marquees, King James only, and all that stuff. Okay? And sadly, many of those men don't know why the King James is the Word of God. I don't put out a banner King James only. Now, if people ask me and say, "You're King James," then I'll say, "Yeah, a little bit." Okay? But I will read any version. Okay? I know they're not true. I mean, I know they're tainted. They have some truth, but they have been tainted. I know the men that did the work are dishonest people. They are dishonest in regards to authority. They might be good people in life, and God might give them information in other areas of life. Okay, so I'm more than willing to read passages from authors that are not King James. More than willing, because God did not limit his truth to King James guys. Okay, and so, but yet I believe one. I believe the King James Bible. In Ezekiel 44, one of the obligations of a priest in the millennium. So Ezekiel 40 to 48 will be nine chapters about the millennial kingdom. And one of the jobs of the priest is in 44:23. "And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and clean." Now, that seems kind of strange. Anybody could tell what a good tomato is and a rotten tomato. Okay, but what if the clean or the unclean appears clean? So what if? And in any of our professions, you know there's counterfeiters, okay, where you have this and this. And so this is why I point that out. I point that out so that you have some ammunition to know why the King James is the pure Word of God, and then why the others are not. And that doesn't mean that we should be rabid. That doesn't mean we should be rude and mean to people. One of the biggest problems about the King James issue will be the King James proponents. The arrogance, okay, that they have in many cases. Why? Because knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Okay, one message, I don't know if you remember it. Disappointed with God. Have you ever been disappointed with God? I first time I preached that was four Sundays. And the only reason I remember is I looked at my records. Okay, I learned that from a former fundamental Baptist guy that dumped the King James and has gone to the New Bibles. Okay, I learned that from him. I thought it was a great truth. Now, he tells his story. He's a pretty well-known author in the Christian world. There were two boys. They were raised in a fundamental Baptist movement. They were, dad wanted to be a missionary, and then he died of cancer, and they expected him to be healed, and that shook their faith. The two boys, the mama kept wanting to go down this road, and she had basically designed a life for her sons. You're going to be a missionary. You're going to do this. They both said, nothing doing. One became an atheist, and the other went to the New Bibles. People react to these offenses. Okay? And I'm of the belief is, if you get truth from somebody, take it. If that somebody gives you air, learn from it, but don't get in their face and yell and scream at them that it was air. Okay, I was raised in a public school. The Lowell Red Devils. I mean, I learned some good things from the public school. C-spot run, I remember that in first grade. I remember a girl sat behind me and she didn't get up and go to the bathroom and she wet herself right there and I saw it coming my direction and I kind of got scared. Okay, and so that's my first grade memories. Okay, I didn't throw everything out of the public school that I learned. I threw out what I remember going to my earth science teacher, and I said, God created the earth. And he goes, oh, no, it's evolved. I said, no, the Lord did it, and walked away from him. Okay, I didn't argue with him after that. I figured, oh, he's got his mind made up, so what? So the idea is that we want to seek truth from any source. We ought to be willing to seek truth from any source. Okay, and but that doesn't mean that we're going to be palsy-palsy with that source. Okay, we can learn from them. This one gentleman that I learned about disappointed with God, the way he learned that idea is he set aside 2 weeks by himself, went to some place in the mountains, and he brought his new version, and he was trying to get answers for Job. And you know, I think God gave him some answers. In spite of his apostasy regarding the Bible. I really do. People say, God can speak through a person with a new Bible? Yes. God can speak through a lost man? Yes. Yes, he can. That's where Josiah, sadly, I find Josiah where he had a premature death because he didn't recognize that a pagan ambassador from Egypt can speak the words of God to him, warning him not to get in this fight. And the Bible clearly said that he spoke by the mouth of the Lord. And so I believe we're seeking the truth. Okay, and we might be surprised where we get the truth, maybe even from your mother-in-law. Okay, but we might be surprised to get the truth. Okay, from what source? Thank the Lord for it. You know, one fellow that I really enjoy some of his videos is probably the most authoritative on the
flat earth.
And so, Eric Dubai, I mean, that guy is really open to some things about science and whatnot. Sadly, he's not open to the Bible. But he has amazing ideas, thoughts on certain topics. I believe where the Bible says we go to a multitude of counselors, and what that means is I don't go to this counselor wanting him to say what I want to hear or this one until I find what I want to hear. I go to a counselor who's an expert in his field. And then, like the buck on butterfly, I'm thankful I didn't have to travel for 30 years around the world trying to find these butterflies with the alphabet on it. Some guy did it, put in a book, and I got it in like 10 minutes. Thank God for that. You talk about cramming down a zip drive. But then he didn't even think about the Bible issue. I turned that around and said, Lord, you are amazing to create an English alphabet in Genesis chapter 1, knowing in 1611 you're going to put your Bible in English, and you just wanted to throw your alphabet out there in plain sight. And to me, it's just fascinating. And so this is why I do point out these passages that the new Bibles do change. I point that out so that you can see why I believe there's one Bible that's a final authority. I don't believe it's just a good translation. It is the words of God without error. Okay, and the reason why a lot of these King James men, King James only, don't see what a Bible believer sees is because they think it's a good translation. They will say a translation is a work of men. Therefore, they're saying the book they have in their hands, it's not God's word, it's man's words. And that's why they don't see it. The Lord rewards a person who believes. Okay, so here, with all that in mind, Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The word hold is changed. The word hold is changed. Here's the NIV. This is the ESV is trying to outdo the NIV, but I'll read it for you in Romans 1:18. No, the wording is who hold the truth and unrighteousness. So the idea is somebody is holding the truth, but they're doing it with the wrong motive, unrighteousness. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth. See the difference? This one is saying, we're not talking about suppressing the truth. We're talking about a Bible reviser who's on the committee, and as he is holding the truth of God, he's doing it on righteousness because he doesn't believe the words in print. And when he saw that verse, his spirit, I don't think they're smart enough to do this. Their spirits pick it up because the devil can give inspiration of words also. His spirit saw that. Oh, that certainly, I am not an unrighteous man. I'm a godly man. So that certainly became being caught talk to me. And so I definitely not somebody suppressing the truth. It's just like if a drunk is doing the translating, comes across, you know, be not drunk with wine. Oh, that can't be me. Okay, so that's verse 18. Verse 25 is another one changed in everyone. And I'm saying everyone, this is including the new King Jimmy. This one says, who changed the truth of God into a lie? They change words to the truth of God to make it lie. All the new Bibles, that one is, that one I know will be exchange. Romans 1, 25, this NIV. And this is a pattern. So once you get certain of these words, the one track I put in the back, which Bible track, it hits these verses. And so once you get about 20 of these verses in your memory, then you can go on anything. And they're all the same. Catholic. Sometimes the Catholic Bible does better than the Protestants. Romans 1:25, they exchange the truth for a lie. That's different. That's different. So both of those verses are aimed at the men on the committee who are being guided by Satan. I'm not saying they're bad men. I'm not saying they're immoral men. They might be good family men. They might be all this stuff. They might be good preachers. But on that issue, they're not being honest. Okay, and so that's the issue. So here's one that you might get a charge out of. The New English Bible with the Apocrypha. Okay, and this one I'd found out, and I had to, this is the only one that I actually bought. All the rest I have, I traded. This one, I couldn't find anybody that had a copy of it, so I think I spent $2 on this one. But it's got a funny thing in Judges 1:15. And listen, this is about Caleb's daughter. Okay, and it says, the son of Caleb's younger daughter, Kenaz, captured it. And Caleb gave him his daughter, Achish. And when she came to him, she incited her to ask her father for a piece of land. As she sat on the ass, she broke wind, and Caleb said, "What do you mean by that?" They got it twice in here. Joshua and Judges. Joshua 15, 18. It's like, can you imagine the revisers? Man, I had some cabbage last night. Man, is it really getting me? And he's working on Judges chapter 1. And he said, hey, let's throw, there is no manuscript that says that. So I showed that one to the two Franks, and they got a big chuckle out of that one. So, but the funny thing is the question after, what do you mean by that? I can imagine the revisers that day when they did that one. So, oh well. So you got to get some humor in there. I think I did a video on that one. So, okay, Romans 1:18. These people are under the wrath of God. They might be saved. I'm not saying these people are lost people. I'm not saying they're evil people. I'm saying that in regards to final authority, they want to keep their opinion equal to God's. And if you ask them, is, you know, their opinion they believe is equal to God's. And I know questions to ask them to get that exposed. If I wanted to discuss it with somebody, and that's very, to me, it's very sad. Okay, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And then it says, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Okay, so they're holding it, but they don't believe it. So they don't believe the book in their hands is the word of God. And you can go to 100 churches, and I pretty much can guarantee about 98 of them, if you ask them this question, is there an inspired copy of the Holy Scriptures that I can get in my hand that you could point me to? And if you put it in that way, most of the time they're going to say, we don't have the originals. You never did have the originals. And you know the two men, does anybody remember the two men that kind of made this textual criticism more acceptable with Christians? These two guys named Westcott and Hort. Okay, and they were admirers of Charles Darwin. These two men were admirers of Charles Darwin. The reason why is both have false science. Charles Darwin promotes the evolutionary theory without ever seeing anything evolving. That's a false science. These men study words and textual criticism, trying to figure out what the originals were like without ever seeing the originals. See how they're in the same camp. They're in the same camp. And that's why the Laodicean church is the way it is. That's the way it is. So, Romans 1:18, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Okay, every new Bible does that. New King James. There's one more verse. I'll show it to you if you would. 2 Corinthians 2. Every new Bible changes this. Paul wrote this 2,000 years ago. He warned. He said there are going to be many that corrupt the word of God. Going to be a bunch. It's going to be a bunch. 2 Corinthians 2:17. Paul said, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Paul said right there, there are going to be many who corrupt the word of God. Every new Bible changes the word corrupt to peddle. So they're peddling. They're peddling. And the reason why, those three verses that we've given, Romans 1, 18, 25, are aimed at the gentleman that was doing the revising. Okay, that's the problem. Kenneth Taylor is the guy that was responsible for what's called the Living Bible, but then underneath he'll put paraphrased. And Kenneth Taylor lost his voice, and some people say that God cursed him because he messed with the Word of God. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But funny, the real funny thing about that is that many years ago, John Ankerberg, a Southern Baptist dude, had a program where he had three people defending the King James, five people against it, plus him, six against it. Sam Gipp was one of them. And he asked the guy of the New American Standard, Kenneth Barker, the question about Kenneth Taylor losing his voice and God cursed him for messing with the Word of God. So that was the question he asked Kenneth Barker. And at that moment, the Lord put a frog in his throat. And the guy said, I can't talk. And Sam Gipp started laughing. And then Ankerberg said, cut the tape. We got to give him some water. And we're going to back it up. And we're going to ask this question again. And so they cut the tape, backed it up, and he asked the question again. And then you hear what Kenneth Barker said. Well, of course, you can see that I can talk. And then you can hear some slight laughing in the background. That's Sam Gipp laughing. Because Sam said, no, let's keep it running. Let's keep it running. And so, yeah, it's funny to talk to Sam about how that experience took place. Okay, so you got three King James guys, five against it. One of them, I think, was Mr. Smart Aleck, James White. And he said during breaks, it was not friendly communication back and forth. Nothing friendly back and forth. I mean, they're supposed to be all believers. I mean, okay, we're all going to go. You're going to go to NIV heaven. I'm going to go to King James heaven. I mean, I'm going to go to my mansions. The NIV, you're going to go to your room. Go to your room. I mean, that's how it goes. But this is a big deal, okay? So verse 18, verse 19 and 20 will reveal that the atheist theory, the atheist idea, is an irrational idea. Okay, and so verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. God has revealed. God is in the business of revealing himself to everybody. Okay, now I'm not a Calvinist, but I do know God is witnessing to everybody. I mean, he does a better job than we do. John 1:9 says that he lighteth the heart of every man. Now, how do we know that? What is our evidence that God has done that? Our evidence is that whoever you talk to, okay, let's say they're an atheist or evolutionist, you just ask them, if somebody stole from you, would that upset you? Should there be justice? And they will say, of course. Right there is evidence that God has revealed a morality to them, right there. Because there is no thievery in the dog world, in the chicken world, in the cat world, none whatsoever. When Lindsay's cat comes to my house and eats our cat food, they don't argue and say, you're stealing my food. And when my cat goes to their house and eats their cat food, there's no arguments there. There's no murder in nature. There's no theft in nature. There's no adultery in nature. When a people recognize justice, that is evidence that God has revealed himself to them. Okay, now, if you get talking to an atheist, Mike Pearl has a wonderful article on atheism. And his title is Learning from an Atheist. Mike Pearl has a lot of good information. But the Baptist writers don't want to take his information because he doesn't Baptist on the door. But he has a wonderful information on an atheism. And the thing is, if a person is up in years and have had some tragic experiences in life, and they have gotten upset with God, he said, and the atheism is often, it's a pain relief. Okay? If it's a young person, often they want to live the way they want to live. So each person, when I talk to an atheist, I try to discern, why have you come to this conclusion? Okay, if it's a pain, if they feel that God is not judging somebody properly or correctly, now they are a reverse hypocrite. And this is what Mike points out. Why are they a reverse hypocrite? Okay, you're judging God because you think God should execute justice at a certain time, and he didn't do it in your timing, therefore there's no God. But have you in your own life seen an injustice and didn't do anything about it? They're going to have to say yes. Okay, then you're judging God for something you do or have done. And that's a way to deal with somebody. And so what we're doing is we're aiming at their conscience, conscience, conscience. You know, the first time the word conscience is found in this Bible is in John 8, verse 9. The woman taking adultery in the very act. It's the first time the word conscience. Guess what these books do with that whole 11 verses? They throw doubt on the entire 11 verses. That's why? Because that's the first time the word conscience shows up. And that's what the Lord wants us to do, appeal to their conscience. Okay, and so Romans 1, 19, because that which may be known of God. I've had them say to me, well, the heathen don't know. You know, how do the heathen know? I said, well, you're heathen and you know. And they don't really appreciate the sense of humor. You just got to try to get them to laugh about something. Okay, for God hath showed it unto them. And then he says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood. Okay, creation. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Christopher Hutchins was a dude that was always pretty rude, and people liked him because he had always zingers and stuff like that. Well, he died and kicked the bucket, and I think somebody said about Hutch and Hutchins, Chris, and I put a little comment on there. He's not a smart aleck anymore. Not when he met his maker. Okay, and so, yeah, he was a guy, but there's another guy, a real a science guy online that is amazing in, I forget his name now, but boy, he put some things on Christopher Hutchins that he didn't know how to respond about the existence of God. I forget his name, John, I think John somebody. I really enjoy, he's an older gentleman that is very brilliant in the science world, but true to the words of God, or at least to the existence of God. So in verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Okay, so it's like this. If we take a hike in Colorado, when we lived in Colorado, take a hike. Okay, we're sitting there by a tree, and all of a sudden I see a watch right there in the grass there. Oh, how many billions of years did that evolve to get there? You know, all them parts come in there. So what do I know from the evidence in front of me? The evidence tells me there was a designer, a creator, and an owner. That's what the evidence tells me. Somebody designed that watch. Somebody created it. Somebody owned it. Now, those could be the same person. It could be three different people. So when we look around us, somebody designed it, somebody created it, and somebody owns it. So we were down in Purdue one time, and a kid, you know, evolutionary theory. I had the one track, 8.5 by 11 track. It says the religion of evolution. They hate that when I put that on the religion of evolution, because it is a religion. And so we're standing there, and he's talking about the glories of the evolutionary theory, almost as good as Bill Nye. No, who's Dawkins? Yeah, Dawkins does. Bill Nye, his real name is Will Dye. And so there's a building behind us. I said, you know what? That building right there, that took 2 billion years to evolve to be right there. Yeah, that's right. I got as much evidence as you have with the amoeba. And he just kind of looks at you. Now that's logical. That building had a designer, a creator, and an owner. And one of those guys came out to me, and that's when I would yell out Bible verses more than I do now, and he would yell, came behind me and said, you're above the noise level, and I'm living right up there, and you need to be quiet. I said, well, thank you very much. Appreciate that. And he turned around, walked away, and I started yelling again. And he came back. He said, I told you, you're above the noise level. I can call the police on you. And I said, man, I really appreciate your help. Thank you very much. He turned around, walked away, and I started throwing out another Bible verse. I mean, he thinks I'm louder than a diesel truck that goes by. And I'd watch them diesel trucks when they'd go by, because Janet liked to stand right in front of that one bar when you come around the corner and the bouncers are out there. And these people would talk to her. Man, they would talk to her. And but then I'd watch these diesel trucks where the guy would hit the accelerator right before her, and then all this, and she's in this cloud of diesel smoke. Fortunately, none of them threw water out at her. I remember one time somebody threw water out at us, but those people really, Janice, she's amazing on the street. She is amazing with those young people. And so, but, you know, the funny thing about the young people is that you got to laugh with them. If you don't laugh with them, they have no respect for you. And so, and they are funny. They really are funny at times. Especially when that one guy had a sign that says, I'm with stupid, and he stood to my left and kept pointing at me. I did think that was funny. But even at that. So a lot of times when somebody's in the educated world, and I believe that the evolutionary theory and the atheist theory is an education problem. You get a country hick who puts a seed in the ground, who plants a crop, you don't have to tell them there's a God. They know. They see a resurrection every time they put a seed in the ground. They see a resurrection. And if they want to call me a dumb thump because I believe the Bible, call me that. I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. I'm not worried about that, you know, intellectual and all that stuff. And so if we are the dumb thump, okay, then prove me wrong, my friend. If our belief is so out of sorts, with your vast intelligence, you should be able to easily refute what I'm giving you. And they can't do it. They can't do it. For the invisible things of him from the creation world, some of those invisible things we are now able to see through a microscope. So some of them are that way, but they're still invisible, the visible and invisible. Things of him from the creation world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So we understand about our God by studying his creation, but we don't worship the creation. We worship the creator of his creation. Because that's verse 25, where they worship and serve the creature more than the creator. So we can study creation. In the homeschool group we were a part of for many years, Bill Gothard and company, and I know Bill Gothard went kind of, it was strange stuff, bad stuff. Okay, but they had character sketches where they would study animals. And we knew, as a teenager, we went to the artist home up in Wisconsin, UP. It's right there, Wisconsin and the UP. I think they were on the Michigan side. And so when he drew the artist, say, of a porcupine or what, he had the thing in his freezer. And then he'd bring it out and he'd paint this picture. Sievert Anderson. Hank, did you ever know about Sievert Anderson? But Dad and Mom took us to their house when they lived up there in the UP. But and then people accused them of being animal worshipers. No, they used things in nature to glorify the Lord. That's what they did, and that's what we should do. We look at trees, and you can preach a sermon on trees because men are like trees. Okay, and some men can bend like crazy, but yet still stay rooted, and that's like a tree down in Florida when a hurricane comes. You put an oak tree down in Florida when a hurricane comes, the oak tree gets... Some men are like a strong oak. Okay, and so the same things are, and other things that we can learn from things in nature. And so then he says, so they are without excuse. So these people have no excuse. None whatsoever. Because, and here's their problem, first step, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. That's the first problem. They refused to give God the credit. They refused to give God the glory. What an amazing God we have. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. There's an obvious trait of the woke generation. Lack of gratitude. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, when a man has lost his gratitude, he is well nigh hopeless. I like this one guy that goes to college campuses, meaning I like this statement that he uses at college campuses. I don't know the guy's personal life or anything about the guy. But he says when he goes to these college campuses and these kids complain about how bad America is, he says, I look at him and say, you got a cell phone? Well, of course I got a cell phone. And you're complaining? You're complaining? Do you think some people in Africa would like to have a cell phone? I mean, what a thing. And these woke people, they have no gratitude. None whatsoever. That's their problem. No gratitude. And the reason why is they refuse to give glory to God. They refuse to acknowledge God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. The imagination is what? All the different genders. This is all part of it. It's laid out right here. Laid out by Paul almost 2,000 years ago. This is the progression down of a society. Became vain in their imaginations. And they want me to accept them. And if they ask me, would you accept me for who I am? I said, why should I accept you for who you are? You didn't accept yourself who you were. That makes no sense to me. And their foolish heart was darkened. Next step down. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's where the college professor gets his title. Right there. And the college professor, where they have Greek letters for wisdom and, you know, their sororities and fraternities, they get that from a Bible. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And then 23 would be evolution in reverse. So if you go backwards, the evolutionary theory, who changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, make like the corruptible man, and to birds, and a four-footed beast, and creeping things. So if you go backwards, creeping things, amoeba, okay, amoeba, then some type of a beast or a bird or a reptile, okay, up to a man, and that man thinks he's going to be God. And we have religions, the Mormon faith. Okay, the men in the Mormon faith believe they're going to be God someday. And the women, you get to populate the planets. Can you imagine that? Eternal morning sickness for all the women. Wouldn't that be a real draw for the Mormon faith? And Bill Snebbelin, because he was a Mormon for a while, after he was trying to clean up his satanic life, said that Mormon women in Salt Lake City are some of the biggest pill poppers in the world, is because they're trying to live some standards that may have a Christian appearance to them, and they can't do it without the Spirit of God. And they're just miserable people. But boy, does it have a hold on people out there. I know a guy tried to start a church out there, and I think he left after 3 years. And he probably lived next to a bishop, a Mormon bishop, because that gives an oppression. And he couldn't get anything going. Couldn't get work, couldn't do anything, couldn't get a church going. And that is, man, when you break into that, that is spiritual warfare, that Mormon idea. So, yeah. So, verse 23 would be the evolutionary theory in reverse. And so then, when they've gone down this road this far, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart. And then they will chant things at these pride parades that you don't want anybody to hear. And they're right there in your face doing it. Okay, wherefore God also gave them up. God gave up on them. That's 24. 26, God gave them over. 28, reprobate mind. And that's the destruction of a nation. Okay, that it doesn't change. This is what happened to Israel. This is what happened to Judah. We learn from history. We don't learn from history. Babylon, Media Persia, Greece, Rome. And who are we? Who is our nation? May God have mercy in our country. Okay, let's stop there. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to understand your words. I pray that you'd help us to give you the glory that you are due. We thank you for them. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to continue till we see you face to face, that we will give you the glory, and we try to understand your words and your ways. In Jesus' name, amen.